Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santaferadiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Rob DeWalt will be with us, speaking of the arts. I'm very happy now to welcome back to the program Deborah Tang, who is Executive Director of St. Elizabeth's Shelter here in Santa Fe, and Jim Podesta, who's the Director of Development over there. And it is the 25th anniversary of St. E's Shelter, and that is taking place tomorrow. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for being here.
Very great to be here. Thanks.
So it's, I suppose, both good and bad news that the shelter has been going on so long. It means the homelessness problem continues apace and the shelter has grown a lot. But it's incredibly good news that not only has the shelter been serving people, but you have really grown and offered so many new services.
Right. Yeah, we started off 25 years ago in a very small little house. And I guess men were housed in the basement and women and families were on the main floor. And since that time, we've really grown to now we have 5 locations and a number of programs. And it more than just housing people, we really are working to move people into permanent housing, into wholeness, restoration of a life that they once had. So that's our goal.
What does the problem look like now as opposed to 25 years ago when St. Elizabeth started?
I wasn't here, obviously, 25 years ago, but at that time, I think there were a lot of people who had unaddressed needs, mental illness, lots of trauma, PTSD, those kinds of things that wasn't addressed. And I think that now our mental health services have gotten a whole lot better, and we do have services available for people, and we, better at identifying that and getting people to the right services.
Talk about, when we talk about mental health, I can imagine there's a lot of people for whom homelessness causes mental health problems, and also mental health problems cause homelessness.
Right. Absolutely. I think whenever you're insecure about where you're going to sleep or what, if you're going to be able to eat, and you don't feel safe out on the street, there are other people that are maybe wanting to make you become a victim of crime or those kinds of things. I think all of those things contribute to a feeling of insecurity and can lead to not only mental health trauma, but also drug and substance abuse, alcohol abuse, those kinds of things.
Right. And what kinds of treatments and programs are available right now, and how well do they work?
So nationally, there is a push for Housing First, which really is about making sure somebody has a secure place to be and then wrapping services around them. And so that's what we're trying to do. We don't provide mental health services ourselves directly. We do case management and try and identify people. And if they need a mental health assessment, there are a number of places that they can go, LifeLink or the Guidance Center, those kinds of things. So they can get the services that they need. Healthcare for the homeless is available. And the hospital has services. And so we actually started a program this year called Respite for people who have been in the hospital or not sick enough to warrant all those services, but still, can't be out on the street and need some time to convalesce. And so,
which is pretty much everybody who comes out of the
right,
hospital
right
now.
Right. and especially in the winter. I mean, you don't want to release somebody to the street.
Yeah.
And so so we've started that program with the hospital, and it's been working very well.
I think one of the keys here is at St. Elizabeth, as Deborah says, we don't provide many of these so-called professional health services, but we're sort of the central place. In other words, you can come to us, and our case managers are experts at helping you find and arranging appointments, making referrals, and getting you to the person or organization that can specifically target your problem. So it's sort of like, we're sort of like guides, I guess I would say.
Right. Now, you have all these different facilities at this point, growing from that one 25 years ago. What is in each one, and what happens differently in each place?
So we now have the men's emergency shelter, and that has 28 beds, and that's for single men. We have case management there. We also open that facility up 2 times a week for resource center, and that's for street homeless to come in and have a meal and get some services at that time. It's our way of making that first contact with people and finding out what's going on with them and trying to channel them to appropriate services. And then we also have there, we have homeless court, and we have a legal clinic. One of our board members is a lawyer who also does the legal clinic and helps people with, because obviously if they're trying to find housing and they have a warrant for their arrest or something that's pending, that really limits their chances of getting housing. So we try and clear those things up for them and have them figure that out. So we have that going on, all of that going on at the main shelter.
Now, what is homeless court?
Homeless court is Judge Yalman comes and sets up her flags and table and has all of her court staff there, and she holds homeless court for people who are homeless who have had issues like public drunkenness or something. If it's public drunkenness, for example, and they have been in an intensive outpatient program for 3 months at LifeLink, and they can show that they haven't been drinking for the past 3 months, those kinds of things, then Judge Yalman will just throw it out. So that those things are not hindering them in finding a job or finding a place to live. And so it's misdemeanors. Judge Yalman does misdemeanors. So.
Right.
So it's those kinds of things. And if they've gotten housing, I mean, a lot of times what is okay when you have a home is not okay when you're out in the street. So if they have found housing, they've pretty much solved whatever they got the citation for. And so that can be taken care of as well. So
yeah, it's also interesting that if you are going to go to homeless court to address the citation you have to plead guilty. So it's basically, you have to plead guilty, and if the citation is to be dismissed, you have to prove that you're working on whatever that citation was, like as Deborah said. So it's a way for people to accept responsibility for what they did and to be working towards not having to have that again. So
interesting.
And it clears their record, yeah.
What if they're not guilty?
Well, then they can go to regular court.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Homeless court doesn't have, there's no fines that they have to pay, and so it really is just working on the issues that created their altercation with the authorities.
There's no fines, and there's no, you can't be arrested as part of the deal. If you come to homeless court, there's no police that can arrest you. And you could have, if you have charges, you could be assigned, like you must do 3 months in this program or something. That could be, you know, your service, and which will remove it from your record.
Right. And then a year and a half ago, we opened up Casa Familia. It's another shelter for just women and families. Before, we had those women and families at the main shelter, but they had a very small space. And now they have their own building, and so we actually can have 30 or more people staying at the Casa Familia Women and Family Shelter. And that's over on Berry Street. And then
and the main shelter's on Allard Street. That's
right.
The original one from
right.
way back.
Right.
Across from La Choza restaurant.
Right.
Yeah. And then right behind Country Dance, we have Casa Cerrillos, and that's our supportive living program. It's for people that have disabilities. Most of them are mental health disabilities. And people can stay there as long as they need our services, so it's permanent housing. And we have 38 efficiency units there. 28, I'm sorry.
And how long do people tend to stay there? I mean, does it fill up and then nobody else can get in?
Yeah, it's people are usually there between 6 months and 2 years.
Okay.
Usually, because by that time they've usually found housing. you know, because when they're there, all three of these housing programs, your rent is one-third of your income, whatever that may be,
right,
including zero.
Right.
So that allows you, even if you have a minimum $600 and some dollars from the Social Security, you can at least theoretically save some money during your time there so you can make an initial deposit so you can get an apartment of your own.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things in Santa Fe is many people, we have a lot of people in the homeless shelter who are working. They have jobs. They
right.
just can't, they don't have the first month, last month, security deposit, all these things it takes, like several thousand dollars to get into an apartment.
Mm-hmm. Child care.
So, yeah, child care. So with a lot of these programs, it's in a time to save some money so you can actually move into housing your own. And then you can be self-sustainable. You have enough money to pay your rent and stuff, but you don't have enough to get in it.
Right.
But they also, as Deborah said, these things are all programs. It's just not housing, you know. There's a program manager on site. There's case managers on site. If you go into one of our housing programs, you've got to have a service plan. You've got to set out your goals. You're checked on if they're working towards those goals. So it's, you know, it's just not a free ride. The goal is to get people equipped so they can move out and be able to live independently once again.
We're talking to Deborah Tang and Jim Podesta from St. Elizabeth Shelter, whose 25th anniversary is being celebrated tomorrow. Now, there's also a senior housing program.
Right, right. And that's on Syringa Road, right across from Santa Fe High School. And that's for people who are 55 and older. Many of them have been on the streets for years and have a lot of physical problems that have really hindered their ability to survive on the street. And so, you know, you can imagine if somebody, a Vietnam vet, for example, that's been on the street since the late 60s, they have a lot of issues that need to be addressed that are physical as well as, you know, PTSD and those kinds of things. So we have 8 units over there for seniors, and they can stay as long as they want in that program as well, as long as they need our services. And then our final program is actually for families. It's 2- and 3-bedroom apartments out on Jaguar Drive. And those are for families that have, sometimes it's single moms and sometimes it's both mom and dad and kids. And they just need more time than what our shelters, because our shelters are 30 and 45 day shelters. And some people just need more time than that to be able, like Jim said, first and last month, and figure out daycare and all of those kinds of things, schooling for the kids. So so the transitional living program is a 2-year program so that people can really kind of be successful once they move out. So those are our programs. And you can go to www.steshelter.org and find a whole list of all the addresses and
all the programs and
all
so
the programs,
on.
Right.
So how has the economic recession, which we're supposedly coming out of, but it doesn't really look that way to me, how has it affected what you guys do?
Big time. Last year, we had more than 2,800 people use our services. So that's a serious amount of people in a town this size. We provided more bed nights of shelter last year than ever before, more than 51,000, and we provided nearly 50,000 meals as well. So the last couple of years, we've had, since the recession began, we've had a fairly big jump in services. Like, not as many individuals serve because we're limited by the number of beds we have, so you don't see an incredible rise in that, but in the rise in the meals and some of the bed nights, yeah.
Yeah.
We have people staying longer, having more time. And one of the big challenges now is one of our case managers told me that before the recession, if anyone wanted to work, he could always find them a job. And if you had a job, he could at least pair you with someone and you could get any apartment to people. Whereas now, you know, people would move and, you know, stereotype that you might be moving between a job at Walmart, Target, things like that. But now people just aren't leaving their jobs. So the it's difficult finding people jobs again.
Even fast food.
Right, even fast food, yeah.
Sweeping floors.
So I'm told, yeah, right. There's been, you know, anyone who has a job is keeping it.
Yeah.
So that's become a big challenge, because that was one of our things, is helping people find jobs. You know, putting
right.
them in the, with the resources they can find a job. And, you know, once you have a job and once you have some sort of income, then you can start rebuilding your life. That's a good first step.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, it is problematic that we live in a fairly wealthy town in which rents are not cheap, and that even if you do have a job working full-time and even a little bit of overtime, even at our lovely living wage, it's still hard to put it all together.
That is true. That is true.
So what will you be doing tomorrow during the 25-year anniversary open house?
So we really want this to be a celebration of the community coming together and really supporting the mission of St. Elizabeth's, which is to really help people get back on their feet and pull their lives together. And so we're going to have at the main shelter, we're going to have mariachis, and we're going to have food at every location and tours. We're going to have a couple of board members at each location and some residents of the program so that and staff so that you can talk to whoever you want to and find out, you know, what it means to the people who live there and, you know, talk to the board members about, you know, where they see our programs and how important they are to our community.
It's not so much a celebration of our 25 years. It's a celebration of the community's support for 25 years, because without that, we wouldn't be in business. I mean, last year, donations from individuals, foundations, businesses, et cetera, made up 70% of our budget. So without that, you know, there's just no way we could be existing. So if anyone wants to come out, they can come and visit these various locations, and they can see what we're doing with their wonderful donations and how we're putting them to use and how we're helping people.
What kind of support from the community, let's say somebody's listening and they haven't really been involved at all, what kind of support is most useful? I mean, I imagine money and serving meals. Mm-hmm. What else?
Well, yeah, obviously, we have a $1.1 million budget. 70% comes from donations, so obviously that's our number one support to keep our lights on. Number two, you can volunteer. We have the front desk at the main shelter is manned by volunteers all during the day. We have volunteers help us with repairs. We've had two volunteers who basically, this Casa Familia program, our new shelter for women, that we bought a building a year and a half ago. This was a very old building. This was not kept up in the best standards. We've had two volunteers who have basically rebuilt this building. They put in an ADA bathroom. They put in a laundry room. They've redone the entire kitchen. They've knocked out walls, put in walls. It's incredible. What a donation. I mean, they've made this place a fully functioning space.
Wow. So that's a lot of plumbing.
and they also are connected, so they can get discounts from other people. So you could do that. Other things you can do is we always use donations. One of the big things is you're homeless. You check in the shelter. You have no razor. You have no toothbrush. You have no shampoo. You have no little hand soaps. All those things that when you go to a motel and you take a home with you, if you're not using them, we can use them. Supplies like
right,
that.
Right.
We can always use donations of food. You have a party, there's more food left over, you could bring it to us.
Yeah.
You know, we will put it to use the next day or so. So
clothing.
Clothing,
kids
too.
Kids' toys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And at the main shelter, we have civic groups and church groups that make the dinners at the main shelter. We don't make a meal, a dinner there at all 365 days a year. We don't have that for our new Casa Familia for the Women and Family program. We have some people who have volunteered, but we still have lots of gaps in those 365 days. So if somebody, they can cook it at, you know, at their church, they can cook it and just bring it. They can cook there now that we have the renovations to the kitchen. So if somebody wants to pick a night, you know, the third Thursday of the month, that would be so helpful. So that's another.
Right, and we either have businesses doing it, we have church groups doing it, we have friends getting together. I mean, it's a lot for one person,
right.
But, you know, for instance, there's people like Mary Charlotte and friends will cook, and once a month
right.
you will come in with your friends and, you know, prepare a meal.
Yeah.
A lot of this is done, you
make
know.
Make the meat lasagna.
Right, exactly. A lot of this, some people just come, and you know, some people just come and drop it off at, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They've made it somewhere else. Other people come. It's easier usually to do that, but other people use the shelter and make the meal there.
And then IA has leftover food that they want to donate, but somebody has to drive out there, or the opera has food. And so if somebody has a vehicle, a minivan, and they have the time and they can go once a week and pick up food, that would be
helpful. Yeah, for instance, we have a volunteer who comes here to the baking company frequently, and he brings over leftover pastries.
Which are really good.
Yeah.
That's correct.
All right, well, Deborah Tang is Executive Director of St. Elizabeth's Shelter. Jim Podesta is Director of Development there. They're on the web at steshelter.org. And what is the phone number if people want more information?
982-6611, and they can call. That's the main shelter. They can come to the main shelter Saturday. It's 9 a.m. to 1 in the afternoon. is our open house at all the locations. They can come to one location and just see that, or if they want to go to all five, they can, you know, drive around and see everything. They can have something to eat, they can get a tour, they can talk to people. It should be a great event. So,
25th anniversary of St. Elizabeth Shelter. Thank you both for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you,
Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Rob DeWalt in just a moment. Please stay tuned. And I'd like to welcome Rob DeWalt. He's with the Pasa Tiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us every Friday speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Almost every Friday.
That's right. Were we not here last Friday?
We were not here last Friday.
Or the Friday before.
Or the Friday before that.
What happened? I missed you. Well, here we are again, and it's great to see you back.
It's good to see you.
Now, tell me, did you stay up half the night watching monster movies?
Mm-hmm. I went out to dinner. I went out to the sort of soft opening of a new restaurant, and then I got home at about 8:30 and stayed up till about 10, and then decided I better sack in early because I had to do the show, and then I turned on the TV and the giant behemoth was on, this 1953 sort of monster movie about radioactive fish that create a monster, and it's got who's in it? Gene Evans and Glenn O'Brien, the guy that did the special effects for King Kong. And then I watched 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, so I'm a little tired this morning, but you know, anything to see Mary Charlotte after a 2-week absence.
And to speak to our beloved audience in Radioland.
That's right. Happy Pride Weekend, everybody.
Happy Pride Weekend. Let's start with that.
The Pride schedule is in last week's Pasa Tiempo, but there are some events listed in the calendar this week. But I'll just run down a few of them. Tonight at Luminaria Restaurant from 6 to 8 p.m., there's Pink Friday, which is sort of a men's night out. Social events. And then also tonight at 8 p.m. at the Lodge of Santa Fe is a ladies' dance with dancing and cocktails. And then Friday, of course, is the Santa Fe Pride Parade. I think it kicks off at 11 o'clock at the Roundhouse and heads over to the Rail Yard. And then starting at 11 a.m. at the Rail Yard, from 11 a.m. to 5:30 p.m.
Tomorrow is the
Santa Fe Pride Festival. You know, there's going to be live music, performance, and kids' activities, and there's booths and information booths and stuff like that, and it's the big to-do. And then Warehouse 21 that same day on Saturday from 7 to 10 p.m. is having a Big Brothers Big Sisters Youth Pride Dance over there. And then on Sunday there's a pool party / tea dance at Buffalo Thunder from 2 to 6 p.m.
Pool party like billiards or swimming pool?
Like swimming pool.
Okay.
Yeah. But that would be cool.
Yeah.
I'd go to the billiards party. I don't look good in a Speedo. But but if you...
I bet you do.
No, I just fall through one of the legs every time. But if you go to santafehra.org, you can find out more information about Pride. And so there's that.
Excellent.
Yeah. Happy Pride, everybody.
Happy Pride Day. Whatever your particular orientation.
That's right. Gay, straight, transgendered, bi, queer, we love you all.
And everything in between.
That's right.
So, other things happening. We just heard a little announcement about the nurses' union, nurses and patient care. There's this whole contract negotiation between the nurses' union and Christa St. Vincent. And I guess the issue is staffing and understaffing and things like that. So, as everybody who's been in the hospital lately knows, it's tricky business whether there's enough nurses to actually really give good care to patients. That's the issue in any case. So tomorrow there will be a rally at the Rose Park, and she didn't tell us what time it is. But anyway, for more information, 501-1570.
I wanted to mention a couple of food-related events, if I may.
Please.
That are happening soon.
Food is an art form.
A nice gentleman named Greg Menke, who owns a sort of private chef service in Hawaii, is back in town for the summer. And he's kicking off these events called Movable Feast Santa Fe. And there's going to be these sort of dinners that are hosted at various locations, and he's hoping to do one a month. But on Monday, June 27th at 6 p.m., at a private home, there was going to be a Peruvian meal, and this is a benefit. This is a benefit for Parish Marcerano, or I'm sorry, Marcenero, excuse me.
Are they serving guinea pig?
No. There's like pisco sours, and there's...
Oh, pisco sours.
And there's yucca, and there's... It looks like a delicious meal. And
there used to be a Peruvian restaurant in Santa Fe, Alfredo's Peruvian Cuisine.
I never even knew that.
Yep, long time ago, 90s. It was good. It was very good.
Wow, how
did
I miss that?
It was like fine dining, and then they moved over to the center where Kinko's FedEx is down on St. Mike's, and they were there for a long time, and now Hidden Chicken is there. But I used to go there all the time.
How did I miss that? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe you were too young.
I was too young and too busy becoming a chef myself.
Yeah, that's right.
But this is an event for a fellow who he was most recently a butler at the Hotel Santa Fe, and he discovered that he had cancer, and he's going through treatment. And he was sort of helping put these movable feasts together with Greg, and this was sort of sidelined his participation. So this is actually a fundraiser for Parrish. And if you go to www.movablefeastsantafe.com, you can find out more information. And then, of course, and that is on June 27th at 6 p.m. And then, of course, the other one is the benefit for Kim Mueller, chef at Real Food Nation and a great supporter of the slow food movement in Santa Fe. And she's looking for a kidney. and they're having this great benefit for her on, the 30th. And the benefit is going to be held at Rio Chama. It's going to be a dinner and yada, yada. It's going to help run funds for her convalescence. And there's going to be a feast, and there's going to be hors d'oeuvres and cocktails and a silent auction and stuff. And even if you can't go, you can still buy a ticket to benefit Kim Mueller. If you go to www.muellerbenefit.com.
M-U-L-L-E-R.
That's right. Muellerbenefit.com. You can buy tickets.
I talked to the organizer yesterday, and it's going to be fabulous.
It's going to be wonderful. I bought my ticket a long time ago. I'm so excited about this. Kim is awesome. I'm actually eating at Real Food Nation this evening with my family. So I adore her,
and she's getting
a
lot of
support
from the community.
Yeah,
has I guess brought a lot of love.
Yes,
toward her and spread
well,
a lot
give,
of love to
you,
other people.
You get what you give.
Yep. All right, a staged reading of A Midsummer Night's Dream at the Scottish Rite Temple tonight, Friday night at 7 o'clock, and as Charles Maynard puts it, the famous Pepto-Bismol building on Paseo de Peralta, color not effect on the human body. And let's see, yeah, Midsummer Night's Dream. So for more information, 920-1401.
Oh, this is great. The Mexican Museum of Art is opening Kimono, Karen Lamont, and Prince of the Floating World, an exhibit of life-size glass sculpture by Lamont. She does these beautiful life-size glass kimonos. They're just gorgeous. And there's going to be some figurative Japanese woodblock prints on display, too. And there is a story on page 44 in today's Pasta Tiempo. The reception isn't until July 1st, and we'll let you know about that next week.
Okay.
But it opens today.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. So that's going to be awesome. A lot of, there's like, I think I counted like 30 or 32 art openings just tonight. Too many to call out, but Gallery 822 over there on Canyon Road is having their summer kickoff show with a reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. Vivo Contemporary, Art and Affair with the Mind, Mixed Media Work by Ro Calhoun, and Whispered Secrets, Mixed Media Paintings by Jovan Sherman. And there is, I believe, a reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m., and that's up through July 13th. You can find out about all the art exhibits that are opening this weekend in Pasa Tiempo, all the ones we heard of, anyway.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
And Lauren Camp is going to be reading tonight at 7 o'clock at a gallery right in the center of Santa Fe. And let me get the information out here. It's called Loving the Dubious, A Conversation in Poems. Barbara Rockman, Lauren Camp, and Anne Valley Fox, 7 o'clock. And refreshments, book signing, and it's at 333 Montezuma Street Annex in the Guadalupe Center on the corner of Guadalupe and Montezuma. More information, 988-9564.
Inventing Van Gogh continues this weekend.
Yes.
And I heard the interview you had.
Yeah.
And I really want to go and see it. If not for the great acting, different from the set and the lighting design sounds fantastic.
Absolutely.
There's a review of it actually in today's Pasta Tiempo on page 28. But it continues this weekend at the James A. Little Theater. Let's see. I believe there's a performance Friday and Saturday. And is there one on Sunday? Yes. There's one on Sunday at 2.
Sunday.
Friday and Saturday performances are at 7:30.
Right.
Yeah. And what else? Gosh, all kinds of stuff going on. There's let's see. Oh, the Santa Fe Opera backstage tours continue this weekend.
I've never been on one of those per se. I've been up to the opera getting ready for the opera series, and in fact, the last bit of the opera series is on Monday here on this show on mm-hmm. Radio Cafe. But a friend of mine was visiting from out of town, and she went on the opera backstage tour and loved it.
Oh, the backstage tours are awesome. You know what's also cool are the youth nights.
Right.
And there's actually one on...
You no longer qualify.
I don't?
Don't you?
No.
No.
No, I guess not. But I might bring a ute or two. there's one on Monday the 27th.
Blatant My Cousin Vinny reference.
This is Santa Fe Opera's new production of Faust. It includes a festive appearance by Circus Luminous. And let's see. There is a youth night. The stage dress rehearsal, priced for modest budgets, on Monday, June 27th, and then Puccini's La Boheme on Tuesday the 28th, and then The Last Savage on July 19th. All performances begin at 9 p.m., and you can get information about family plan tickets by calling the Santa Fe Opera box office at 986-5900.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
Now, the Lenzic Big Screen Classics tonight and tomorrow, Giant and the Searchers at 7 o'clock. Giant, adapted from Edna Ferber's best-selling novel and directed by George Stevens, starring Elizabeth Taylor, Rock Hudson, and James Dean.
Yes.
It doesn't get better than that.
It doesn't.
And then tomorrow night, The Searchers. Whoops, my window just disappeared. Here it is. The John Wayne movie with Vera Miles, Natalie Wood, and Jeffrey Hunter, 1956.
Yeah.
Apparently, the movie was misunderstood by audience and critics alike, but it got it became a cult movie later.
These tickets are priced to move. You can get them, of course, at the Lenzic box office, ticketsantafe.org. I wish I had time to go to some movies this weekend, but there's just so much. There's so much going on.
I heard the new Woody Allen movie is good.
I've heard it.
The
I've heard
Paris
it too.
Movie. Yeah. What's it called?
I forget, but Jonathan Richards gave it a raving review in Boston Tempo.
Excellent.
But that's one I was like, Owen Wilson? Really?
Owen Wilson.
Wow. This is great. The Do Return, the Meow Wolf,
yes.
The multimedia installation over there at the Mignos Waxman Gallery at the Center for Contemporary Arts.
Worth going back to over and over.
And especially worth going back to this weekend. There are more performances, but these ones are pretty special. An Argentine-Colombian experimental electro-folk band called Lula Cruza is going to be performing tonight there at 6 p.m., along with Rumelia, which is a Balkan folk ensemble. And then on Saturday at 6 p.m. is acoustic folk ensemble Cloacas, who just put out their debut album. And then Evaruznik, who's the world folk slash dream pop duo. And they're just ethereal and wonderful, and they're going to make a great backdrop for the exhibit. And let's see. And that is, let's see. There's a suggested donation to get in, and if you have an ID, they're going to be selling cocktails on the ship.
Ah.
So they'll all hands on deck for that one. That's going to be great. I want to go. My mother is in town, and she wanted to go, and she was afraid that she was not going to be able to because she's not moving back here until August, but they've extended the Do Return until August 21st.
And so good.
It's no longer ending on July 10th. It's extended to August 21st, and you can find out more information, I'm sure, by going to thedoreturn.com. Let's see. Ooh, Captive Women in the Slave System of the Southwest Borderland. This is on Sunday. This is a lecture by James F. Brooks, president of the School for Advanced Research, in conjunction with the exhibit Homelands, How Women Made the West. And this lecture is at 2 p.m. at the New Mexico History Museum on Sunday.
He's fabulous.
Yeah, he is. And that's by museum admission. You can find out more information by calling 476-5200. That's going to be cool. Boy, it's hot out there, and it's smoky, but you shouldn't miss the Cowgirl Barbecue Bob Dylan Brunch. Have you ever been to one of these?
I have not been to the Cowgirl Barbecue Bob Dylan Brunch.
Yeah. Well, it's at Cowgirl Barbecue, but they call it the Bob Dylan Brunch. And it's like Joe West and Josh Martin and Margaret Burke and Colsey Ralston. And that's from noon to 3 p.m. And then from 4 to 6 p.m.
What's the Bob Dylan angle?
Well, it's Bob Dylan songs. And I'm sure they throw some other
stuff in there. Interpret all kinds of Bob Dylan songs?
Yes, they do. And then, let's see. There's a jazz guitarist later that night, and this is all on Sunday, of course, named Joe Buck Johnson at 8 p.m. And there's no cover for any of this, which is great.
Excellent.
Which is great. Hopefully it won't be like 150 degrees.
Let's hope not, because then we would be somewhere inside with a lot of air conditioning.
Yeah.
All right, what else is happening? Let's see.
Tons of stuff.
There's Moira, West African Dance and Drum Ensemble. Two different shows of contemporary and traditional high-spirited dance and drum tonight and tomorrow at the Rail Yard Performance Center. It's an ensemble that comprises 15 performers and master musicians and dancers from Guinea and Senegal, West Africa, and all sorts of things. So it sounds actually fabulous. They sent this set of photographs where people are jumping up and down and looking very, very, very energetic. For more information, 577-8046.
There was one more food-related thing that I wanted to mention that I totally spaced out, and that is, let's see, the 2011 Santa Fe Greek Festival.
Oh!
You know, which usually takes church, let's see, it usually takes place at the Orthodox Church, but it's actually, I believe it's happening in the Rail Yard. Let me see here. Let's see. The event features Greek cuisine, pastries, Greek coffee, and Greek music and dancing with the Aegean sounds and the Palamakia dancers. And let's see. Yeah, you can get raffle tickets, yada, yada. Let's see. It runs from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday, June 26th at the Santa Fe Farmers Market.
Oh, great.
In the Rail Yard. So, and that's over there at Paseo de Peralta and Guadalupe. You really can't miss it. Admission and entertainment are free, but you have to pay for the eats once you get there.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're going to have all kinds of really good food, baklava, and just all
baklava
kinds of
baklava is my favorite of all desserts.
Souvlaki, spanikopita, gyros, Greek salads, and other stuff I can't pronounce. But it's going to be great.
The Metamorphosis Documentation Project is Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 5 at the Longhouse Studio at 1122 Old Santa Fe Trail here in Santa Fe. And they are having all kinds of crafts, textiles at excellent prices that are selected by Armando Espinosa Preto and Craig Johnson to support their Day of the Dead project. We've had them on a fairly regular basis over the years. They've been doing documentation of festivals in a particular village in Oaxaca that does just these incredible festivals. They brought these Mexican artists and dancers and folks from that village up here, I think it was last summer, and they do great work on a very tiny budget. So worth checking out, 1122 Old Santa Fe Trail.
Sweet. You know, we were going to mention, I totally forgot about this because we just jumped right in, but Ronald A. Short has some amazing watercolors and pencil drawings.
Yep.
I called it a sort of a combination of Pink Floyd's The Wall and Salvador Dali.
It was hanging right here in the Santa Fe Baking Company.
And they're incredible. They're great.
Yep.
I can't even begin to describe them. You just have
you
to
just
come
did
in
describe them.
Well, I sort of did, but I mean, like an actual piece. If I did, it would just take too long. But
sort
but
of biomorphic, sort of technological, organic.
Yeah.
Yep. There's a scary fish hook also.
Yeah.
But you have to come in to see more about what we mean by that.
Right. Come and see the scary fish hook and get a cup of coffee and a burrito. Oh, now I'm hungry. Oh, Moving People Dance on, what is this, Friday? Illumine, a multimedia performance at 7:30 p.m. with an after party by DJ Gargamel at 9:30 p.m. And this is at the Moving People Dance Theater tonight. Let's see. And the tickets are at the door. If you call 438-9180, you can find out how much those tickets are, I'm sure.
And one more of the Monday noon gallery talks. Chris Enos, New Mexico photographer, will talk about her work in Earth Now. And that is part of the New Mexico Museum of Art's summer events. And for more information, you can go to museumofnewmexico.org. A lot of stuff going on over there.
Yeah.
And in fact, in all the museums.
Yeah, no, you can tell it's summer.
You can tell it's there's a number of ways that you can tell.
This is something that I wanted to fit into my column, but I just didn't have time. Sleaze punk band The Hickoids are coming down to play at the Underground tonight. And I'm not really sure what time that starts, but I'm sure it's around 9 o'clock. But there's a great percussionist who plays with the Blood Drained Cows and Mambi's Head, who moved to Austin, and he's traveling with them. And so he's a local boy coming back to slam some skins and do some other stuff. And just go ahead and call the Underground at Evangelo's for a timing cover, if you like. But that's going to be a raucous show, for sure. Actually, most of the shows there are pretty raucous, but they're good.
Now, here is a major dance event. Sunday, this Sunday, the 26th of June, at 7 o'clock at Expo New Mexico. I also read it as Via Hispana, so I'm not sure, but it's 300 San Pedro Northeast. Maraca is playing, and they are a 13-piece Cuban orchestra that it is led by Orlando Valle, who is a great Cuban flutist, jazz, and Cuban music. And they are incredible. I've been listening to their music for a good 15 years and or more. And they are coming to Albuquerque on Sunday night.
I gotta go.
Is the Pope Catholic?
I almost choked on my coffee there. I don't think I mentioned that as part of the Pride festivities, which seem to be overflowing with drag activity this year, Latin drag comedy show Divas Travesti is going to be performing. Let's see, they're going to be performing at 8:30 p.m. at the Silver Starlight Lounge at Rainbow Vision Santa Fe on Saturday. And there is a cover at the door, but a portion of the proceeds benefits Equality New Mexico. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe there was so much drag to be had that, let's see, I believe that there's another performance on, nope, that's it. Yeah, just on Saturday. And that's...
You take your drag when you can get it.
You take your drag when you can get it, and there's plenty to go around this weekend. Just look for it, mostly in the rail yard, on
right.
Saturday,
excellent.
Around noon.
Rob DeWalt with us, speaking of the arts. So a lot of art openings, too. You've mentioned a bunch of them. Anything else?
There's most of them are, of course, on Friday. James Kelly Contemporary, Los Vaqueros, paintings by John Sonsini. A reception from 5 to 7 p.m. tonight through August 6th. Let's see, what else? Charlotte Jackson Fine Art Survey, paintings by James Howell, reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. And there is actually the cover fellow on in today's Paso Tiempo, Forrest Moses. There's an event honoring him because, if I can find the story, in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's in here. One second. Do you have something?
Yes, I have lots of things. There's a good dance email that I've been getting. That talks about things like Rueda with Carlos Mora every Friday at Oddfellows Hall from 6 to 9. You mentioned, I think, Stiletto, the dance party, women's dance party at Rouge Cat tonight. Mm-hmm. Savor at El Dorado from 7 to 10. Soul Kitchen at Santa Fe Performance Exchange in El Dorado tonight at 7:30. Let's see, Ritmo Soul Midtown Lounge at 8:30 in Arroyo Hondo. Jimmy Stadler Band in Taos at the Alley Cantina from 10 to 1. So much stuff. Son Colmozón in Albuquerque at Salsa Under the Stars. And then tomorrow,
We'll leave it at that. Hey, on July 1st, which is not this weekend, but next weekend, there's an opening of Forrest Moses' paintings and monotypes at Lou Allen Gallery. But on the 30th, Forrest is going to be honored by the Santa Fe Rotary Foundation as the Arts 2011 Distinguished Artist of the Year. And there's kind of an award ceremony at the St. Francis Auditorium at the New Mexico Museum of Art at 6 p.m. And that is, I believe, the 30th is a Thursday, correct? Yeah, Thursday, June 30th. And then also on 7 p.m. Thursday, June 30th at Lou Allen Gallery, there is a reception of the Forrest Moses show. And there's a special ceremony and a reception, and there's tickets involved. And it's, if you go to the ticketsantafe.org website, they'll spell it out for you. I would just get tongue-tied trying to explain it to you. And then there's, of course, another reception for that same show at 5:30 p.m. on Friday, July 1st, with no charge to the public.
Excellent.
So that's
July 1st is the opening of the opera. But we'll talk about that next week.
Next week.
I'm so excited.
Or the week after. No. When is it?
I'll probably only be able to go and see one performance this year, and I haven't decided what to see. I know.
Why?
Because I'm a busy, busy boy.
Dude, it's a long summer.
I know. I know. We'll see. We'll see.
They have dress rehearsals. They have youth night.
I can't go to youth night.
But you look so young.
If I take my god kids, can I go to youth night?
Yeah, of course you can.
Okay. Because
I'm going to have to drive them. They can't walk to the opera.
Oh, that's true. And we live in Glorieta, so that's a long walk.
That's a long walk.
That's a lot. Well,
it's a long drive.
It'll build character. We can get them ready for their first pilgrimage to Chimayo. Just a little practice before next year.
Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Did you like it?
No. I mean, I liked the experience, you know, but I did not sort of condition myself, and I did not bring the proper accoutrement, including a hat and suntan lotion or sunscreen. So it was a bit of a mess.
Yeah, that's messy.
Yeah.
I walked through the night. It wasn't much better.
No. No. It was a good... I mean, it was the destination was better than the journey. Let's put it that way.
Right.
But that was more my fault than anything else. Let's see. Lisa Fisher. We didn't talk about Lisa Fisher, did we? The poet on Tuesday is going to read from and sign copies of Full Body Wag.
Yes. Yes, we'll be talking to her.
Oh, you're going to interview her?
I think so, yeah.
And that's at 6 p.m. at Collected Works on Tuesday. And there's a little subtext about it today on page 14 in the Pasatiempo.
Excellent.
Art's Alive. Let's see. Hands-on arts activities, making paper garlands from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Museum of Spanish Colonial Art on Wednesday the 29th. And that's up there on Museum Hill, and that's by museum admission. Again, more backstage tours. There's so much going on. There's a Wednesday the 29th performance at the Screen, an encore HD broadcast of Verdi's Macbeth, which was filmed at London's Royal Opera House. But you can catch the screening at 7 p.m. on Wednesday at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. That's at the Screen, obviously.
Yes.
Over there off.
Oh, and let's talk about John Pilger. There was
yes.
The John Pilger film is screening tonight also at the Screen. I think it's screening, it screened last night and is over the weekend. And it was controversial because John Pilger was supposed to speak at a Lannan Foundation event and it was canceled and he made kind of a fuss about it and, which.
What a dust up, eh?
Yeah. You know, some people. But anyway, the name of the film I will get to in just a moment.
And while you're getting that, I'll talk about, just for a second, Staying Alive. I think we skipped a year, perhaps, but usually we do sort of a story about nonprofits and how they're faring and who's making what. And Casey Sanchez has written a wonderful article in the Pasatiempo about nonprofits in Santa Fe, arts organizations, and what they make, and pick it up.
Excellent.
It's a very interesting read.
The John Pilger film is called The War You Don't See, and it's an investigation into the media's role in war, tracing the history of embedded and independent reporting from the carnage of World War I to the destruction of Hiroshima and the invasion of Vietnam, the current wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. And John Pilger is a terrific journalist, and so check it out at the Screen. It's Saturday and at noon, Sunday at 6:15, and maybe it'll be held over. We shall see.
Yeah, go see Troll Hunter at CCA Cinematheque. This is an awesome, sort of sci-fi fantasy movie about trolls.
Okay.
Yeah, Norwegian trolls.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Rob DeWalt is with us just about every Friday. Speaking of the arts, he's with the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santaferadiocafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. My email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Thanks to Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz a la carta. Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
Have a great weekend.
And don't burn down the rest of the state, please.
Yeah, that would be good.
All right.
Ciao.